you on the upcoming holy month of Ramadan. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us and accept all of our deeds, and bless all of our deceased ones who instilled within us the love of this holy month. Now, this holy month of Ramadan, I'm going to need a favor from all of you, and that is, each night I want you to be holding the Holy Quran in your hand. Not only do I get a commission on the thawab, but also at the same time, you're going to be able to gain a benefit from this text, a text that many of us neglect throughout the year, but a text that has so many wonderful pieces of wisdom, but also a text that's a subject of question on many occasions from Muslims and non-Muslims alike. And so in this series known as In the Quran, I'm going to be looking at topics in the Quran which relate to the life of Muslims and which may be topics which non-Muslims often inquire about. And obviously I had to start with fasting in the Quran. As we know, fasting is an act which is observed by Muslims and non-Muslims alike, as in you can have friends of yours who are not Muslim who find it important at certain stages in their life to observe a fast. And likewise, we see this within the religion of Islam as being one of the most important acts in the religion. However, although there are millions of Muslims who are fasting for the next, let's say, 30 nights or so, you'll find that the majority of Muslims in the world have never reflected upon the verses which speak about fasting in the Holy Quran. There are a number of verses that speak about fasting in the Holy Quran. And if you were to ask your friend or a family member, explain to me the verses that discuss fasting in the Holy Quran. Because if you're able to explain those verses, then not only are you able to understand the history of the practice of fasting according to the Quran, but also the social aspects of fasting, the legal aspects of fasting, the ethical aspects of fasting, and we're able to take off our 21st century thinking caps for a bit and put our 7th century thinking caps on. We have to now imagine that we're living alongside the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and his family. And we're living and trying to understand the philosophy of the religion of Islam, how this religion is guiding me in terms of my spirituality, how it's guiding me in terms of my ethical worldview, how it's guiding me theologically, but also the laws that it asks me to observe and how these laws came about. Therefore, when you look at the majority of the verses about fasting in the Quran, you'll find that the majority of the verses about fasting in the Quran are in Surah Al-Baqarah, Surah number 2 of the Quran. As we know, Surah Al-Baqarah is the longest chapter in the Holy Quran. I'm not going to ask the viewers to recite the whole chapter today, but rather, we're going to look at a series of verses within Surah Al-Baqarah. And these verses, from verse 183, let's go to verse 183 until verse 187 of Surah Al-Baqarah, are the verses that discuss the evolution of fasting, the history of fasting, the laws that relate to fasting within the religion of Islam. Now, the fact that we're discussing Surah Al-Baqarah means that we have to transport ourselves back to Medina, because Surah Al-Baqarah is known as a chapter of the Holy Quran that's revealed where? Revealed in Medina. Most of the laws of the religion of Islam, one can find them in the verses in Medina. If you want to look, for example, at the discussions of, for example, Tawheed, monotheism, discussions of a theological nature such as prophethood, discussions of the Day of Judgment, you'll find a lot of them in Mecca. When you're discussing with the mushriks of Quraysh, the polytheists of Quraysh, a lot of those discussions are Meccan. When you're looking at discussions concerning a world that today we call, today, fiqh today, of course, we think about law straight away, don't we? Of course, originally, it's this deep understanding of a subject like religion. Most of the verses regarding the Islamic legal system are in Medina. So therefore, when Muslims, millions upon millions of Muslims in the world today are fasting and observing the laws related to fasting, these laws are found in the verses in Surah Al-Baqarah, and of course in the traditions of Ahlul Bayt salawatullah wa salamu alayhim. So when we're looking at Surah Al-Baqarah, I want you to all imagine yourself that you are living in Medina in and around a year or two, just a couple of years after the hijrah of the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, which would mean that the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, his family, has announced his prophethood for about 15 years, okay? Because in Mecca, from the age of 40 till 53, and in Medina, the first couple of years, we're seeing the institution of the laws that many Muslims observe. So when you see Muslims, for example, praying, you'll find that the verses in Salah are in Medina. When you see Muslims going to Hajj, you'll find that a number of those verses are revealed while the majority of the Muslims are still in that Medina period. Laws regarding Zakat, for example, Medina. Laws regarding, for example, issues such as Khums, Medina. Likewise here, Surah Al-Baqarah, whenever anybody tells you the verses in Surah Al-Baqarah, more often than not, you have to transport yourself back to Medina. We're in Medina. And now while we're in Medina, we are slowly seeing an aspect of the Islamic sciences emerging. In contrast to Mecca, where there were major discussions concerning theology and discussions concerning ethics, in Medina, there are many discussions where theology and ethics now have a new friend. The new friend is called law. But always with the new friend called law, there is still a spiritual, mystical aspect to that new friend who's joined. And we see it from the outset. So if you look, for example, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, verse 183. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu. And many times when you see the translation of Ya, all you ever think about is, oh, you. You don't reflect on the fact that there is a mystical aspect to this Ya. What is the mystical aspect to Ya at the beginning of a verse? If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is addressing us, what's the mystical aspect of Ya? It's that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is speaking to me. What an honor that my Lord is addressing me. If a friend of mine's addressing me, he might say, oi, come here. Or he might say, you. Or he might call me by my name. But I might still turn around and look at them. How great is it when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking to you? Is there a greater honor in the life of the human being than when their Lord talks to them? I've tried to get this person's number for a long time. I finally got their number. Now I can't wait for them to message me. But they're a mere mortal on this earth. I can't wait to get this manager's number for this job application because I think there could be a good chance that they might respond to me favorably. But what happens when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told me, you didn't even ask for my details. I'm talking to you. I'm talking to you and I'm saying, ya. The ya could be who? On some occasions in the Quran, it could be ya ayyuhan nabi. He could be talking to the Prophet, peace be upon his family. Other occasions, it could be Ya Nisa al-Nabi. He may be talking to the wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. This time, on the verses of fasting and other times, you'll find that God is saying to me, Ya Ayyuha is an address to me. Do you know what Imam al-Sadiq says about just Ya? Just the Ya at the beginning of an ayah. Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam says that when God says to you, oh you, at that moment, God has done this for which reason? For the reason that he wants to make the task that you're going to about to be asked to perform less arduous. And the flavor of the worship becomes a different flavor. If your mother tells you fast, you're like, I gotta go and fast. Your dad tells you, Samit, you fasted? You're like, yeah, I did. When we were younger, there were some of us, not the speaker, but there were some of us who, if we fasted, for example, you might find the parents saying, MashaAllah, you know, my son fasted the whole of this month. And you're thinking, you know what, if my parents actually knew what I was doing at lunchtime today, they'd never, ever forgive me. So you found that for some people, you'll find that the task is arduous. Fasting is not easy, especially fasting as a Muslim, especially fasting as a Muslim in Europe and North America.
There are some people in Europe, their fast makes our fast in London seem so easy. I've got friends of mine, for example, who live in Sweden. You ask them about their fasts are not easy at all. There are people whose fasts are not easy. But when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to you, oh you, doesn't it make the flavor of the fast different? That my Lord, you're addressing me of all the creation, I, the insignificant creation, because the Quran is a book that can times be personable. It's talking to you. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala begins an ayah, for example, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, what should our reply be? Labbaik. Normally, labbaik is something that we say when? When do you normally say labbaik, Allahumma labbaik? Which period of the year? Hajj. And Hajj is normally when you say labbaik, Allahumma labbaik. What is labbaik, Allahumma labbaik in Hajj? When I'm doing tawaf, normally what do I say? Labbaik, Allahumma labbaik. Why do I say this? Here I am, my Lord. Here I am. Upon the entrance, I mean, for example, of Mecca, there is a certain point all the way from Medina, just before we come, we're all saying, Labbaik Allahumma Labbaik. You'll see many of us calling out, Labbaik Allahumma Labbaik. Why? Here I am, my Lord, here I am. When you see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying to you, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, the first thing you do is say, Labbaik. My Lord, you've called me. If my friends call me, I'll pick up straight away. When you talk to me, how can I not answer you straight away? You want to reach the world of ishq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the holy month of Ramadan, this unbelievable love for the Lord, you have to ask yourself who you've loved the most in your life. So let's not beat around the bush. We've all had one person in our life we loved more than anyone else. When that person, for example, texts you, or I don't even know these days, what's it? She pings you, or when she messages you, straight away you want to answer. Straight away. You don't even want to leave a split second. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he begins, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, straight away the first thing that should come into your head is labbaik. Therefore, when I begin the holy month of Ramadan, the first thing that I should be saying is what, my dear brothers and sisters? First thing I should be saying is labbaik, my Lord. I've seen some Muslims, oh bro, Shah Ramadan's coming, man. My God, this is going to be a headache. Oh God, what a long month coming up. Why? Because our philosophy of Shah Ramadan was what? Our philosophy of Shah Ramadan was, this is arduous. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knew that there's no doubt that fasting is a test. It's a trial. But at the same time, I'm telling you, doesn't make a difference when I tell you. Have you seen when your mom says to you something and when someone else says something to you? When mom says something to you, it's different from when your friend says. Your friend, for example, could say to you, bro, can you do me this favor? And you're like, bro, allow it today. When mom says it, you're like, you know what, mom? I'll do anything for you. Why? Because mom has spoken. Therefore, it's different. My Lord comes higher than even my parents. And so the ultimate lover, when he hears the beloved call out to him and say to him, Ya ayyuhal, straight away you reply, Labbaik. That's why, if I give you an example somewhere else in the Quran, there is an ayah all of us have recited in Surah Al-Ahzab, Surah 33, verse number 56 of the Holy Quran. You'll find that there is this ayah all of us have recited. We recite it especially in our mosques when we remember Ahlul Bayt salawatullah wa salamu alayhim. But many people don't realize the beauty of what's being said. In Surah 33 verse number 56, you see the ayah in the Quran, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Inna Allaha wa malaikatahu yusalluna ala nabi. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the angels send their blessings on the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, and his family. Yes. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu. O you who believe. The moment I see Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, what's the first thing I should say? Labbaik. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, sallu alayhi wa sallimu taslima. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa sallam. The moment I recognize that my Lord has asked me to send my blessings on Muhammad and Al Muhammad, what do I do at that moment? It's a huge honor for me, isn't it? So the first thing I do at that moment is labbaik. So the next time you hear in a majlis someone saying, Inna Allahu wa malaikatahu yusalluna ala nabi, ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, sallu alayhi wa sallimu taslima, I say labbaik, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Here I am, ready to send my salawat. So therefore, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu. First lesson I learn is the Ya is mystical. It's the Lord speaking to his beloved. Second lesson, what is it? What's the second lesson that I learn? When I see Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, normally this refers to Medina. If you see an ayah begin Ya ayyuhan nas, normally it refers to Mecca. The verses Ya ayyuhan nas are speaking to the general community. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu is speaking to who? Medinian believers. In Mecca, when I'm speaking Ya ayyuhan nas, I might be speaking, for example, to who? I might be speaking to the mushriks of Quraysh. Mankind as a whole. Ya ayyuhan nas in Mecca. If I'm saying Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, normally it's Medina. I do stress on normally because there are exceptions to the rule. But the third point about Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu here, O you believers, or O you who claim to have iman. You claim to be a mu'min. Show it. These are the steps in which you prove your iman. There are many who are Muslim, but not necessarily mu'min. If a person now wants to marry a girl in the community, he's a non-Muslim, he wants to marry a Muslim girl, all he has to do is just utter the shahada, he becomes a Muslim, true? But can you count him straight away as a mu'min? No. A person can become a Muslim by saying 7-8 words. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. A person says that, straight away they became a Muslim. A mu'min, on the other hand, there are certain boxes they have to tick. I can become a member at the gym. Member. But when I'm someone who's gone through each machine and knows it inside out, I go on to a higher level than basic membership. Do you agree? Likewise here, you'll see Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam is known as Amir al-Mu'mineen, not Amir al-Muslimin. There are many who are Muslim, but Amir al-Mu'mineen, he is the prince of the believers. The ones who tick the box required to be a mu'min. Here, Allah says, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu. Some translated, what do they say? O you who believe. No. O you, I'm talking to you. I do love you. You claim to have iman. If you claim to have iman, then follow the set prescriptions. Kutiba alaykum. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, kutiba alaykum. O you who believe, it has been prescribed upon you. Whenever you see kutiba, or in many cases, kutiba indicates a law which has become obligatory upon you. So if you see the verses before these verses, you'll find, for example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, Kutiba alaykum, in Surah 2 verse 180, just a few verses before, Kutiba alaykum, idha hadara ahadakum al-mawtu, in taraka khayran, it has been prescribed upon you. Kutiba alaykum. By the way, this verse, Fatimah al-Zahra alayhi salam, used in the discussion concerning Fadak. Verse 180. Kutiba alaykum, it's been prescribed or it's been decreed upon you. Idha hadara ahadakum al-mawtu in taraka khayran, it's been prescribed upon you that when death comes upon you, if you've left a certain amount of wealth, khair here means wealth, al-wasiyyatu lil-walidayni wal-aqrabina bil-ma'roof. If it's been prescribed upon you, kutiba alaykum. Whenever I see kutiba alaykum, it means there's a law that's prescribed. What's that law that's prescribed here in verse 180? In verse 180, kutiba alaykum idha hadara ahadakum al-mawtu in taraka khayran al-wasiyya lil-walidayn wal-aqrabin, that if you leave behind a certain amount of wealth, this is written in a wasiyya, in a will. To who? It's written in a will to either your parents or to the near ones. Fatima al-Zahra alayhi salam said that if you say Fadak does not belong to me, then if you're saying Fadak doesn't belong to me, the Quran itself says if someone leaves a wealth behind, then am I not of the near ones who the Quran says it's to be left behind for? Prophets don't leave behind inheritance. In the ayah on fasting, again, fasting is now prescribed. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, kutiba alaykum, it has been prescribed upon you. Kutiba alaykum what? Kutiba alaykum as-siyam. First question, ma'na as-siyam. What's psalm mean in English? Normally we see psalm means fasting. Saum means refraining, to refrain from something. Fasting is when I refrain from food, refrain from drink, refrain from certain pleasures. Therefore, when I talk of siyam, siyam means to refrain from something. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu kutiba alaykum as-siyamu kama kutiba ala alladhina min qablikum. O you who believe, O you who claim to have belief, fasting has now been prescribed upon you, like it's been prescribed on those who came before you. Are we the only community of people who fast in the world? Said Muhsin, I ask you, in the world today, are there religions that have periods of fasting? Give me an example of a religion that has a period of fasting. Hindus, Hinduism, there is a period of fasting, for example, or there are instructions to fast. You'll find Christianity, for example. Christianity, if one was to study the texts, and we just finished the period now of Lent. In Christianity, there are people who fast. When the Quran said, O you who believe, fasting has been prescribed upon you, like it's been prescribed on those who came before you, it means that there are nations, there are religions, there are prophets who also discussed with their communities the benefits of fasting. O you who believe, fasting has been prescribed upon you, like it's been prescribed on those before you, means that before us, the Christian community used to fast. Why? Jesus Christ was someone who fasted. John the Baptist was someone who fasted. Nabi Musa alayhi salam, Moses, was someone who fasted. Many of the greatest prophets of God, of course, the prophets of God, fasting began with them with who? The first to fast was Prophet Adam alayhi salam. Prophet Adam, the poor man, everything he had to do. He had to see shaitan, he had to see heaven, he had to see earth, he had to see killing, crime, family, murder. And he was the first to fast. Every prophet of God, part and parcel of their life was what? Part and parcel of their life was fasting. For Christians, you'll find as a form of penitence, you'll find that there are Christians in the world today who will do what? They find it penitential to fast, meaning that I, for example, have committed sins. These sins burn away my fast, and burn away what? When I fast. That's why they say one of the meanings of Ramadan, Shahar Ramadan, my dear brothers and sisters, we are advised that we don't say Ramadan to each other. We say Shahar Ramadan. There are many who don't respect that Ramadan, according to tradition, Shahar Ramadan is one of the names of the Lord. So I can't just say about my Lord, Allah said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Likewise, when I say Ramadan, I should say Shahar Ramadan. One of the meanings of why it's known as Shahar Ramadan, Ramadan is the idea of something that burns. Either it's revealed in a time when it's blazingly hot and burning, so the month is named after the temperature, or the burning away of sins takes place the most in this month. Christians find it penitential to fast. Their fasting, however, is different from our fast. There is no religion in the world that some will say has as many laws or is as trialsome when it comes to fasting as the religion of Islam. You'll find that there are Christians who, for example, may fast by not eating, for example, meat. Wallah, I wouldn't mind fasting like that. You bring me veggies the whole day, I could do it. Honestly. So if I'm not going to eat meat, for example, and you bring me pasta, could you last the day on a fast with pasta? I don't mind. Or for example, you bring me cheese and you bring me eggs. I can fast the whole day. And if you're telling me that all I have to stay away from is meat, and yes, as an Iraqi, staying away from meat is death. You know, I've got to have meat 24/7. You can hear all the people discussing cholesterol and discussing everything else. But we want meat. We enjoy meat. But I wouldn't mind the odd Indian curry that doesn't have much meat. We talk about the after effects later. Christians fasted. They saw Christ had taught the importance of fasting. They saw that John the Baptist, part of his spirituality, was fasting. They had known that Moses for 40 days in a row fasted. But their fasting, if you look, for example, within the Catholic world, is still observed. But now, it's not like before. Now you'll find people say, okay, I'll stay away from meat, but even the vegetable products are expensive now. So now what's penitential is up to the person. There are different ways of a person gaining that penance, for example. And so you'll find that in Christianity or Judaism or Hinduism, while there is fasting, the Quran acknowledges this. The Quran says, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu kutiba alaykum as-siyamu kama kutiba ala alladhina min qablikum. That means that before us, there were nations that fasted. Question. Did they fast in the holy month of Ramadan? The nations that came before us. The only nation that was given the blessing of the fasting in the holy month of Ramadan was the nation of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. The prophets who came before, their people fasted. But Shahar Ramadan was a blessing because of the blessing that was revealed in that month that I'll come to shortly. So the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fasted. Their nations fasted. But in the holy month of Ramadan, the only community whose prophet alongside them, they fasted the same month as their prophet, is which one? Is the Muslim community fasting in the holy month of Ramadan. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu kutiba alaykum as-siyamu kama kutiba ala alladhina min qablikum. Ya Allah, why are you telling me that people before me fasted? What's it got to do with me? So what if a Christian fasted, or the Jews fasted, or the Hindus fasted? How does that help me? Sometimes in life, it makes things easier when you know people before you done it. Have you seen sometimes you see driving, the first time you start driving, you're like, this is difficult. But then you think to yourself, you know what? My older brother did it. Why can't I? You know what? My cousin did it. Why can't I? You go to university and you're going through that exam period and you're like, this is tough, bro. This is arduous. But hold on. One of my good friends graduated last year. If he could get through it, I could get through it. Sometimes this was a form of solace to that young Muslim community. Listen, we're not talking the Muslim community 1,000 years later. This is a young community. You're talking people who are 17, 18 years old. When I say young, both young in age, literally and metaphorically. Young in age, literally, there are people 17, 18 who only 5, 10 years ago hadn't even converted to Islam. They weren't used to fasting. And their cousins in Shahar Ramadan were still munching. How difficult is it for you that you've joined a religion? And I know there are converts in the world today who are fasting, while their cousins don't have no such thing the whole year. Here the idea is, number one, that fasting is prescribed upon you like it was prescribed on those before you. Those who were with Prophet Yahya fasted. You could do it. Those who are with Prophet Isa fasted. You could do it. Those who are with the Holy Prophet. This is the greatest creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So fast alongside him. For if those people were able to fast, look at the benefits they had, why can't you? We know that in your head you're thinking, this is not going to be easy. And we're lucky. We in London, is the weather always hot? In London, the weather's not always hot. You're not always deadly thirsty. Although I think we're heading to a direction which is a bit better than maybe a few years ago, where it was in the summer and it was difficult. But can you imagine Medina? How hot must Medina have been at that time? Can you imagine what the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi were going through at that time? But don't you worry. Kutiba alaykum kama kutiba ala alladhina min qablikum. It is prescribed on you, but you're not the only people it's prescribed on. It was prescribed on those before you, and they got through it as well. كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الصِّيَامُ كَمَا كُتِبَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. What is the aim and the philosophy of fasting? So that you may achieve a level of God consciousness. Because ultimately someone will say to you, why are we fasting in the holy month of Ramadan? For what reason? What's interesting is the word la'allakum. Fasting has been prescribed upon you, like it's been prescribed on those before you, so that you may achieve God consciousness. Why didn't it say you will achieve? Why didn't it say la'allakum? Maybe you'll achieve God consciousness. Why didn't it just confirm it? I've just fasted for 30 days. And you're telling me I'm not of the muttaqeen? 30 days, 15, 16 hours a day, and I'm not of the muttaqeen? Why does the Quran say la'allakum tattaqun? You might achieve the level of taqwa. Why didn't it say you will definitely do it? Attending school doesn't necessarily mean you'll get A's. Do you agree? I could be at school in the madrasa from September until May. The time for the exams, the times for the imtihan comes, doesn't mean that I'm going to get A, even if I haven't missed a single class. Do you agree? There's a better chance of me getting an A if I haven't missed a single class. There's a better chance. Oh, if I've been skiving and bunking the whole time, I'm not going to get an A. There's a better chance of me getting an A if I attend. But am I guaranteed an A? No. Why? Because maybe I haven't understood the philosophy of the classes that I'm taking. There are some people who observe the fast of the holy month of Ramadan. But do you know what fasting is for them? Fasting for them, unfortunately, it's a good start. But it's a start that you would have made at 16, not at 20, not at 25, not at 40, not at 45. Their fasting is staying away from what? From food and drink. That's it. Language, still filthy. Ghiba, 24/7. Business, scamming. Wife, insulting. Sons, hitting. Gossip and slandering. That person is one of the reasons the word la'allakum is there. Because that person, for them, they have managed to neutralize an aspect of their animal soul, but are miles away from the divine soul. Animals eat. Animals drink. If an animal stays away from food for a few hours, it's fasted. True? An animal has fasted for a few hours. It couldn't find any food, couldn't find anything to drink. I could also be amongst those who stays away from food and drink, but my temperament hasn't changed. Even my truthfulness hasn't changed. Why do they say a fast in some cases may be invalidated if you lie in relation to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Prophet peace be upon him and his family, or the Ahlul Bayt salawatullah wa salamu alayhim? Why do they say the fast may be batal if I lie? Kidhib. For what reason? It's because that fast was meant to build the new you. It was meant to be the software update. iPhone, and I'm not advertising for the iPhone, but I'm just bringing the example. iPhone, every once in a while, and everybody who knows me, technology-wise, I'm miles behind everybody else. But one message I always get is the message, software update. Why software update? For what reason? Because even this whole machine, every once in a while, requires an update. If a person looks at Shahar Ramadan as the month of Ishq of Allah, where Allah spoke to me and said to me, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, and he has placed me with the ranks of those who were alongside Moses and Christ and John the Baptist by being amongst those who observe the fast, then when I reflect on that, that software update means that the soul becomes clean once again. Your phone, you're able to take certain cameras. With a software update, doesn't have an effect? You're able to take certain photos. With the software update, has an effect on even the photos, even the size, the capacity. It has an effect on how you speak. Do you agree? Suddenly, on WhatsApp, there are different things in which you're able to express. The software update in Islam for the soul of the human and the body of the human is the holy month of Ramadan. If a person recognizes that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put a disclaimer, كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الصِّيَامُ كَمَا كُتِبَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ, maybe, just maybe, you might become of the muttaqun. There are some of you, no change. And truly, I guarantee you, there are some people, sadly, no change of Shahar Ramadan. No change whatsoever. The same characters you'll find. And you know what the biggest proof is? The biggest proof is when Eid comes. Do you know in London, about 10 years ago, there was this thing that was happening, even 15 years ago. There used to be Eid parties at nightclubs. Honestly. And you'll find people from the Muslim community would be attending. Why? Because there is little reflection of the meaning of fasting. They just think, you know what, for 30 days, alhamdulillah, I kept away from food and drink. Where's the latest rave, bro? Put me on the guest list. Where's it going to be held? Why are there parties held at the end of the holy month of Ramadan? The biggest symbol when there's a party being held with names, the names of the people organizing the parties are names of prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or names of companions of prophets. They're the ones organizing the parties. Why? Why are they organizing the parties? Because they fall under the category of la'allakum. They are ahl la'allakum. And what do I mean by that? They fall, sadly, under the category of those people who were what? Who were seeing Shahar Ramadan as simply keeping away from food and drink. Do you know how you could twist that spiritually? I eat and I drink, so I gain the energy to read more Quran or more dua after iftar. Food and drink, food, eating, is a neutral desire. You direct it towards good or bad. Do you agree? Food is a neutral desire in the human being. You can't say food is good, food is bad. But what you can do as a human being is you're able to direct the food to either enabling you to gain closeness to the Lord or take you further away. The religion of Islam recognized you are what you eat. You are what you eat. The whole year, we've been munching on some crazy junk food. For the viewers at home, Imam Hussein TV, we have some of the most dedicated people in the studios. But if you see the buckets and you see the burgers and you see the oil, we have more oil in our studios than some people have in the Middle East. And if you took a photo of all of us together, you're not going to get a number of six packs. The only packs you're going to get is a couple of packs of pizza and of KFC and of the odd burger chain. Why is that? Because we've forgotten that part of our spirituality and to reach a level of taqwa. And how many times do you hear people saying, Sayyidina, how do I become a muttaqi? As if number one, Sayyid Ammar knows. But number two, first and foremost, eating habits is part of the software update. There are so many people who think, as long as I'm there, Shah Ramadan, I'm fasting, then 19, 21, and 23, I perform the a'mal, that's my software update done. No, it's not. Because then there's a reassessment. How's my heart feeling? Shahar Ramadan and fasting helps the heart. Shahar Ramadan and fasting helps one's breathing. You look at the benefits physically of fasting, all of them go hand in hand with taqwa. Taqwa is not just about the soul. Taqwa is that the body and the soul are both looked after. What's the point of me being someone very spiritual and I can't even walk from here until the mosque? And what's the mosque of me? What's the point of me being someone who has biceps and triceps and everything, and yet I have no time to reflect on the diseases within me? Because la'allakum tattaqoon leads me to one thing. COVID-19 showed me that I have a physical problem that I need to make sure I sort out. I reassess myself physically. La'allakum tattaqoon asks me, reflect on the spiritual diseases that you have. Let Shahar Ramadan burn them away. Ramadan. Because the beginning of the next ayah, what does it say? The beginning of the next ayah, it's telling me, أَيَّامًا مَعْدُودَاتٍ, a fixed number of days. In that fixed number of days, challenge yourself. Challenge yourself, my dear brothers and sisters, in this fixed number of days, which spiritual diseases do I have which my local pharmacy cannot necessarily fix, which I can fix so that I'm amongst the group of the God conscious? I don't want to be of the group of la'allakum. Ahl la'allakum, I don't want any alaqa, no relationship with ahl la'allakum. I want to be of the group where I'm proud to be a follower of Imam al-Muttaqeen, Amir al-Mu'mineen. All these titles that he has, he's giving us hints. Be of those who reach that level. Because what is fasting? Fasting proves taqwa. You can't just say I have taqwa. One of the ways to prove you have taqwa and you have belief and you have iman is fasting. Therefore, in this holy month, my dear brothers and sisters, one of the most important things to do is to try and be away from la'allakum in the negative sense of you might be God wary, and rather go to the positive meaning where inna akramakum indallahi atqakum, the best amongst you in the eyes of Allah. Look at what Allah said. Did Allah say inna akramakum indallah, the one with the most honor or the most honorable in the eyes of Allah is the best looking one? No. Did he say is the wealthiest one? No. The most educated one? No. Inna akramakum indallah is who? Atqakum. The most honorable of you in the eyes of God is the one who's the most God conscious. The one who's become a human being who's moved from fasting of from food and drink to the fasting of the heart, where now their heart is now alive and their heart has suddenly been reignited. Inshallah, I will continue tomorrow with fasting in the Quran part 2. There's only a few parts on fasting, and then we will move on to many other topics in the Holy Quran. Join me tomorrow as we look at the discussions concerning fasting in the Quran, and especially related to those who are ill, those who are traveling, as well as some of the other laws concerning pleasures and desires in this holy month. Thank you all so much for watching. Don't forget me in your prayers. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.